love that music, always love that music. And with us right now is one of the guys who helped make that music. His name is Sam Andrew, and he was one of the folks from the original Big Brother and the Holding Company, and still with them. They're still recording and doing things, and we're going to hear some of their music today. Let's say hi to Sam Andrew. Hi, Sam. Hi, Sam. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing okay. As long as I get everything straightened out here, technically we'll be all fine.
Okay.
Nice to talk to you.
Yeah, same here. Thank you.
This is a really interesting box set that's out from Columbia Legacy. They've actually re-released pretty much everything you guys did.
Well, there's a couple more things that I'm waiting for, but now I'm getting very patient because I know sooner or later it's all going to come out. But yeah, that's pretty close.
Yeah, I mean, for you and the group, and unfortunately Janice is not here to enjoy this,
yeah.
A whole generation of people will hear stuff for the first time.
Right, I think so, and it is a whole new generation because they're, you know, people who are 17 and 18 are really into it, so that's good to see.
Yeah, oh, definitely. I would think that a generation of people who never heard of her, except through Legend and the group, and people, you know, sometimes forget how important the band behind her was. You guys kind of lived in her shadow, and when she passed away, it became a much bigger shadow.
Yeah, it did, although now I think Big Brother is getting some recognition for the fact that we let Janice become who she was. We kind of stood aside and gazed on admiringly as she, you know, became her persona. But I think all of her bands were good. You know, I was in two of them. I was in Big Brother and Cosmic Blues, and Full Tilt was a great band, you know, I thought. I thought all of her bands did real well with her, you know, at one time or another. And then there were times when all of them sounded sloppy, too, so, you know.
It's interesting. We had a woman on this show named Susan Tedeschi.
Oh, yeah.
She has been called the new Janis Joplin.
Well, you know, I don't know why they call her that. I love her playing. We've played with her, you know, in Boston a couple of times, and I just think the world of her. But to me, she doesn't sound like Janis. It's got to the point, I think, where any strong woman singer is going to be called that, you know.
There's only been one that I can remember, though.
Yeah, maybe I have to go. Who's that?
Janis Joplin.
Oh, yeah.
She's it. I mean, well, there's no other
Janis
Joplin. Yeah,
that's true. It's like Billie Holiday. You know, it kind of does a disservice to a new singer to call her like the new Billie Holiday or something, in a way. You know what I mean, Mark?
Yeah, I think I agree with you on that.
Yeah, you know.
Now, tell us a little bit about you. Where did you grow up, and how did you learn to play guitar and write music and do all the things you do?
Yeah, well, I was an Air Force kid. We moved all over the world, and I loved that. Some people didn't, but I really liked it. I really took to that kind of life, and kind of moving all the time, hearing a lot of different things, being exposed to different influences. And when I was about 14, I started playing guitar, and then I had a band about 3 months later. And at that time, you had to know two sets of chords. You had to know blues changes and then a sort of a set of doo-wop changes, which were like C, A minor, F, and G7. And if you know those two, you could play fast songs and slow songs. So I had a band in about 3 months.
Wow.
So it was had a good time. Unusual for that time, we wrote a lot of songs. Maybe three quarters of our tunes were original, and we had a good time. We played on Okinawa. It's a place. It's a little south of Japan. It is Japan now, but
wow.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. We did television, and this is at 14 and 15.
So that was quite an exposure at an early age.
Yeah, I'm really very thankful for it. Yeah.
Any of the folks from that original group join you in any of the other bands you were in?
No, I wish. I wish I could find, well, I can find him, the saxophone player who was even younger than I was. He was very precocious, and he played clarinet and saxophone, and he would play like a Benny Goodman thing, note for note, in a song called Let's Dance. And then he would do honky tonk, and now he's a studio player in London. He does a lot of the sessions for saxophone. So, but one of these days, I have this dream. I'm going to get him back one of these days and do some playing with him.
So, how did you get involved then in some of these other groups that you joined after that?
Well, I came back to the United States, and I stayed in a library for a couple of years. I really was interested in linguistics and English literature and that kind of thing. And I studied real hard, but at the same time, I'd go out and play. I played in a band with John Cipollina when I was maybe 19 or something like that. John was in later in the Quicksilver Messenger Service, and he played with a lot of people.
Mm.
And I was in a band with him, but I was mainly being a student and playing a lot of folk music like everyone else, which was a lot of fun and really educational.
Yeah, that back then, the folk era was in full swing.
Yeah, it was full swing, and it was just it was before it had started changing into the, I guess maybe exposure to the blues through the folk thing is kind of what, you know, made that late 60s sound.
Mm.
And so I went to Paris and lived there a couple of years and played a little bit there, like on the street and in the parks and that kind of thing. And then came back to the States, and I heard Peter Albin playing one day, and he was later the bass player in Big Brother, but he was playing guitar. And he was playing it really well in a kind of a loose John Lee Hooker style, and I really liked it. And I said, hey, why don't we form a band, you know, so we did, and it was Big Brother and the Holding Company.
Wow. Now, when did Janice join the picture in this?
She came in about a year later. We were playing, we were one of the, maybe there were three or four main bands on the San Francisco scene, and it was like Jefferson Airplane and Quicksilver, and Steve Miller came in a little bit later, and Grateful Dead, and us, and Big Brother, and that's before we had Janice. And we had a manager, Chet Helms, and he was doing the dance hall thing, him and Bill Graham, and Chet said, I know this singer in Texas. I went to school with her at University of Texas, and she's marvelous, you know, and you guys have to hear her, and let's bring her out. And we said, great, you know, I assumed she was joining the band, and that was Janice, and she came out.
What did you think when you first heard her and first saw her?
Well, when I first saw her, I thought she looked like she, I've lived in Texas. Both of my parents are Texan, and she just looked like home to me when I saw her. I just said, oh, yeah, you know, I would know in a second if I saw her walking down the street that she'd come from Texas. Hmm. And she seemed like my mother's side of the family. The women in that family are all kind of loud and strong, and that, you know, Janice was kind of like that, even though she was kind of nervous at first.
Yeah.
And she was, but she was a very forceful singer. She had this real loud voice.
Oh yeah, screeching loud.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It was a lot more like Bessie Smith and Ma Rainey at first, you know, than later.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really quite impressive. You know, it sounded like a Library of Congress record or something. I mean, it was on 78, maybe. You know? Yeah.
But, I mean, at that point, did you welcome her into the band? Did you guys think, oh, this is good, this is going to be a good thing for the band, or were you not sure?
Well, there were four of us, and with four people, there's always four different opinions. But I just assumed she was coming to join the band. I didn't think, like, you know, oh, she's bad or she's good, or I said, oh, great, it's like another person in the band. I liked her singing a lot right away, and I think the audiences did too. A couple of the guys in Big Brother weren't so enamored of Janice at first, but, you know, they went with it right away.
She had a mouth of like a truck driver, didn't she?
Yeah, although she also had a mouth like a PhD at university. So she had both of those things going, you know.
Really?
It was always those two personas were always in Janice all the time. You know, there was this real heavy, hot blues mama thing, and then there was someone who talked kind of like perhaps a psychology professor, or, you know, definitely someone who'd given a lot of mature thought to a lot of things, you know, a very thoughtful person.
When you first met her, when she first joined the band and you were first playing with her, did she do a lot of drinking and other things, or was she pretty much a straight barrel at that point?
Well, for her, she was a straight barrel at that point. Compared to a normal person, you know, I don't think she was ever entirely straight, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I mean, I remember seeing pictures of her on stage with the Southern Comfort, and that was kind of her symbol, drinking a whole bottle on there. And flashing herself and doing all kinds of wild things, and everybody thought it was really cool.
Yeah.
But, I mean, did you guys ever think at one point, you know, this woman might be in trouble, she's a little too wild?
Well, we were wild, too, and in fact, when she first came to us, we were a little wilder than she was. She was coming into this scene that she really didn't know anything about. That didn't last very long. When I thought that, what you're talking about, Mark, is shortly, maybe about 3 months before she died, you know, I went to see her. I saw her somewhere locally. She played on the same bill with us in a very small town out here, and it was at a biker thing. And I got this chill up my spine. I thought she was really overdoing it, and she was slipping into self-parody, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And she was kind of flabby, you know. It was like an old fighter or something has had one too many fights, you know, and I thought she really needed to take it easy and settle down, you know, and calm down a little bit, you know, because it just gave me kind of a chill, you know.
When did she break away from you guys?
She broke away from us. And I did too, and I think it was a mistake for both of us to leave Big Brother, at least that soon. I think we broke away from Big Brother in about December 1968, because our first rehearsal with Cosmic Blues Band was on December 18, 1968. So
you both left Big Brother to form the Cosmic Blues Band?
Right.
And who else was in that band?
Quite a few people. Snooky Flowers played baritone. Luis Gasca was on trumpet. Terry Clemens, who had been in The Joy of Cooking, was playing tenor saxophone. And Roy Markowitz, who wound up drumming with everyone, including Al Cooper. I just read Al Cooper's book, and he mentions Roy a lot. He was drumming with the Cosmic Blues Band.
Hmm.
So basically a lot of hired guns, Mark. You know, it was.
Yeah.
Janice kind of wanted to have a soul band, you know, and she broke away from Big Brother, and there we were in a room, and we realized, you know, Janice didn't know how to be a band leader, because in Big Brother we had all kind of, you know, pitched in ideas. It was kind of rough and tumble, and there was no clear leader. And then all of a sudden, you know, everyone's looking at her, all of these hired guns, because, you know, they want someone to tell them what to do. They're not interested in, you know, contributing ideas and that kind of. It's just not the same dynamic, you know. So they're all sitting there looking at Janice, and she didn't know what to do. You know, she realized she didn't know how to be a leader. She learns later, but, you know, how to be a leader, you know, by the time the Full Tilt Boogie Band was formed. And that's why that was a more successful experiment, I think.
Mm. It's an amazing story. I want to continue with it. I also want to talk to you a little bit about what you're doing now and a lot of other things. We're talking with Sam Andrew from Big Brother and the Holding Company. They have a CD out called Big Brother and the Holding Company, Do What You Love. And we'll give you their website and information, and also tell you a little bit more about this great box set from Big Brother and the Holding Company and Janis Joplin and the whole gang when we come back with more of That's Life with Mark Snyder right here.
This is Ed McMahon. It's That's Life with Mark Snyder.
If you love music, TV, and the movies, you'll love PMPNetwork.com. That's right, PMPNetwork.com, the Internet's entertainment superstation, has downloadable interviews with your favorite celebrities, great photos to download, and reviews of movies, plays, music, and all the TV gossip you need. It's all in one place, PMPNetwork.com. Check it out on the Internet next time you're surfing the superhighway.
You're listening to New England's only daily entertainment talk show, That's Life with Mark Snyder on 1410 WMSX.
Hey, are you hungry? If you are, listen very carefully, especially if you're in the mood for Chinese food.
Are you in the mood for Chinese food cooked in vegetable oil, like canola oil, low fat? I know, you don't like MSG. How about some Chinese food that has no MSG? And how about if you can actually watch the chefs cook your food, and knowing that it's going to be in a nice, clean kitchen? Well, you have some choices to make. You can choose, let me see, Chinatown in Stoughton or Chinatown in Brockton. Both places have great luncheon specials and evening specials that you can actually get all day long. That's right. They're not just evening specials. They're all day long specials, and they start at only $5.95. If you want great Chinese food, a nice, enjoyable place to eat, and good prices, well, Chinatown's the place to go. Chinatown in Stoughton at Cobb's Corner and Chinatown in Brockton behind Frank's with a brand new dining room. It's all at Chinatown. If you love Chinese food, you will love Chinatown. For to-go orders, all you have to do is call Brockton 508-580-2885. That's 580-2885 for the best Chinese food to take home.
Buses flash in Baton Rouge, waiting for a train, when I see the news faded as my jeans. Bobby thumbed a diesel down just before it rained and rode us all the way into New Orleans. I pulled my harpoon out of my dirty red bandana. I sang soft while Bobby sang the blues. When she wiped her slapping time, I told her Bobby Sandy Man. We sang every song that jazz.
A new great song from Chris Christopherson, and that was from Janis Joplin, Big Brother and the Holding Company. And with us, of course, on the line is Sam Andrew from Big Brother and the Holding Company. Lots of things going on in your life at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, Mark. You know, I always hear that song. It sounds slower than I remember it for some reason. It sounds more relaxed, you know, than I remember the tune, Bobby McGee. So
it's funny. It's interesting to hear Chris Christopherson do that song.
Yeah,
he wrote it.
You know who I heard do it that was really great? Ramblin' Jack Elliott.
Yes.
Maybe 6 months ago, he played on the same bill with us in Larkspur, California, and he got up and played that song, and his guitar playing was so good, and the way he sang it, it was just really, really heartfelt. Such a great job. You know, I was amazed.
I think he actually recorded that on one of his Rounder CDs.
Yeah. Well, I hope so.
Yeah, it's a nice rendition. You actually are you involved in this? Because you told me about it, play called Love Janice.
Yes, and that's why Bobby McGee's on my mind, because I teach it to the musicians who do this play. We did the play in Cleveland, and now we just did it in Chicago, and it's running. It'll run until a while in Chicago at the Royal George Theater, and it's really good. The play is based on some letters that Janice wrote home to her parents, and so that's an example of what I was saying before about that sort of university professor diction that she had, because she'd be right in the middle of, you know, this very heavy scene, you know, backstage or something, and there she'd be over in a corner writing home to her parents and basically explaining the 60s to them, or trying to. And she wrote a series of letters all through that public career, which are very interesting, you know, and she's very forthright, she's very honest, and she puts a lot of her conflicts down on paper there. And so that's what the play is. It's those letters, and then in between she sings songs from each period. So there are 20 songs in the play, and I train the musicians and try to keep it kind of, you know, authentic.
Wow. This is amazing. I mean,
Mark, if you ever get a chance, go see it.
Well, I'm hoping it'll come to Boston one day.
Me too. I'd love that.
Is it going to be in London and San Francisco as well?
It is. I don't know in what order. I would love to see it go to Boston. You know where I am right now? I'm at UC Berkeley in the library.
Huh.
And I'd love to go to Harvard and go to that library too, I'll tell you. So I have my own reasons for wanting to be there.
Mm. I think it's great that you're keeping her image alive. And what are some of the things I had her sister in studio here, who's a marvelous individual. When we spoke for about an hour here and talked a lot about Janis. In that whole time frame with Janis Joplin, Jimi Hendrix, Jim Morrison, what an incredible waste of great talent through so many different reasons. What do you think were the reasons that Janis acted like she did and ended up with such a terrible demise?
Well, first of all, it's really a tough question, and then there's one real easy answer out of many, many that there are, and that would be just that was the times. That was what was happening in the times. If Janis had been alive in the 80s, she would have probably been down at the gym working out, because that's what was happening in the 80s. That's what you were supposed to do then. So, people are a slave to the times they're born into, and the 60s were a time of excess. And Janis had large appetites, she for sure, and that was part of it too. And I don't know, she was always insecure, she was always powerful and she was always insecure. It was the weirdest mix, I'd ever seen in anyone.
Yeah, I mentioned that Laura was in, and so they also have a brother, Michael. Have they been to see this play?
Oh yeah, they actually. It's Laura wrote a book called Love, Janis, in which those letters play prominently, and so the play is kind of based on her book. So what happens is Randall Myler, who wrote the play, rehearses the actors, and I rehearse the musicians, and then we put that all together. And then about that time, Laura and Michael come in, and they take a look at it, and we do a series of interviews together, and they basically kind of check that, it's still representing their sister.
So are they kind of the executive producer type things of it?
Right, yeah, that's probably a good way of putting it. Yeah, they're probably executive producers, exactly.
Any plans to put that particular play on a CD?
Well, that's a thought. That's a thought. Because it's a play, you could put the songs on, but we have a different band every time. We've been very lucky. We've had two really good bands in these last two productions.
It's an interesting story and interesting music. So
yeah.
If you put it all together on a CD, you get people who in the rest of the country can't ever see it to at least hear it.
Yeah. Now, what kind of CD are you talking? See, I'm not that technical. I do email. That's about it. You mean like a CD-ROM?
You could do a regular audio CD, or you can do a CD-ROM that has advanced video on it as well.
See, they should be able to hear the letters too. I mean, they're really.
Yeah.
I guess you could do that on a regular
CD. Sure, you could. Yeah. The other thing is that you also have the fabulous website at www.bbhc.com. And you could actually run a short clip of it on that as well.
There you go. It's a good idea.
Marketing ploy. That's what I do. Marketing, marketing, marketing.
Thank you.
But that's what, as many places as you can promote it, that's the way you got to do it.
Yes. Yeah. Good idea.
Now, how about the Catherine Curtin? How does she do? Isn't she the one starring as Janis in this?
She's fabulous. She's a really experienced actor. She did daytime television for a long time, and she's just got a lot of chops, a lot of technique, and she does the speaking Janis. There are two singing Janises in every production because it's very exhausting to get up and sing, eight performances a week of that kind of material. But Catherine is the only speaking Janis, and she does such a great job. She pushes those buttons, boy, they just turn on the emotions, in the audience.
I think about what you said, though, about being so exhausting you need a couple of Janises. Imagine what she went through when she was playing. You guys were playing a lot of dates at one point, weren't you?
Yeah, Janis was made out of cast iron. It was herself, so she wasn't assuming a persona, which is a hard work in itself. She was just being herself. But, yeah, she could. We very often did two or three gigs in one day. I mean, she was just, she was indestructible, really. Really something.
I wanted to do something right now while we're actually talking, and I'm going to take a very quick break. And as we go to this break, I actually want to play one of the songs from Big Brother and the Holding Company CD, Do What You Love. Any particular song you want me to play?
Well, let's see.
Your favorite one?
You know, we do two tunes on there that Big Brother did. We do "I Need a Man to Love" and "Women as Losers."
Mm-hmm.
Either one of those would be good, or you could play the title cut. I don't know. You know,
right,
I mean,
well, I'm gonna play. I was gonna play it anyway, so I'll play it now.
Okay.
I Need a Man to Love.
All right.
This is from the CD, Big Brother Holding Company, and it's available at the website, right?
Yeah.
BBHC.com. We'll be back with more of Sam Andrew right after this. When you hear that song.
Yeah, that was, you know, she and I wrote that tune in about 5 minutes. Most songs, you know, you really work on them, you know.
I mean, that was Lisa Battle singing, right?
Yeah.
And who's not bad, but I mean, she sounds like a transistor radio next to a huge stereo.
Yeah. I mean,
it's kind of sad.
Yeah.
What was the reason for putting that thing together in the first place?
The Big Brother CD?
Yeah.
Well, we still play. We play a whole lot, Mark, and so we're playing all over the country. And we needed something, frankly, just to, you know, to sell at shows.
There you go. Okay.
Kept asking us, so, you know, we put that together. And I think Lisa's a real good singer. You know, we work with a lot of vocalists now. We have about 10, a pool of about 10 of them.
Yeah.
We go out and work with them.
Have you found in all your searching anybody that can even hold a candle to Janis?
Well, no, and I wouldn't want to, at least in a certain way. We're not looking for someone to really sound like Janis, because, you know, it's just a mistake. And
yeah.
Once again, it would be looking for someone who sounds like, you know, Judy Garland or Tina Turner or something. You know, I mean,
right.
You got one, and that's kind of the way it's going to be, but... You know, I always think, I keep thinking there's going to be like a real strong woman, you know, right around the corner here one of these days, you know. And actually, we've had some really great vocalists in our history. One thing about Big Brother is we always show up with a real strong. We had Kathy McDonald for a couple of years, and she sang with Ike and Tina and the Rolling
mm-hmm.
Stones and Joe
yeah.
Cocker. And, you know, she was just a great singer, you know.
Hmm.
So. We've got to know some really good singers over the years.
Now, where is Big Brother heading? Anywhere in the East Coast at all?
We play on the East Coast way more than we do on the West Coast, yeah. The next time I'll be there is probably with Love, Janis, you know, going into New York sometime in the spring. Although Big Brother will be back in the Southeast real soon, within a month, you know, we'll be down in Florida and that. But next time for Boston, I don't know. I hope it's soon.
I hope so, too. I'd like to get together with you at that point.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you about the Pearl CD box that Sony Legacy has released, the great Janis Joplin box. Incredible. What did you think of it?
Designed the package so it kind of looked like her Porsche, and then it's got, you know, it's got the first Big Brother album in it, and then Cheap Thrills and Cosmic Blues and Pearl, you know, the Full Tilt Boogie Band album.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then it's got that other, you know, rare Pearls, which, you know, unreleased stuff, and then there's unreleased cuts on each one of those other albums. So, I mean, how can you lose? You know, it's like a good deal.
I think it's a great compendium, and the booklet inside's real nice, too.
Yes.
Columbia does a nice job with those kind of things. I've always been a favor of, I love Rhino, and I like Columbia Legacy. I always like to see some of this old stuff coming back in an improved version, you know?
Yes. And it's fun to hear that, you know, it's fun to hear that stuff. I got a Jeff Beck compendium that was really great, that was really enjoyable, you know, hearing, kind of being able to follow his career, you know, and a lot of good, you know, Miles Davis and, Carlos Santana, and, you know, just a lot of really good stuff.
Yeah, what
they do? I don't know if they want to be called Columbia now. Maybe they want to be called Sony, but it is Columbia. It was Columbia.
Columbia Legacy is what they're calling themselves.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But it's interesting, though. I mean, if you take a look at what they're re-releasing, I mean, pretty much all the Janis Joplin CDs and the Big Brother and Holding Company stuff is now out, brand new versions with some secret little songs on the ends of them.
Right.
And they've released Earth, Wind, and Fire, all their albums, and a number of people. And it's really nice when they come out because they're scrubbed up real nice.
Right. They clean up good.
Yeah, they clean up real good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's real nice. And for a guy like you who's been playing for so long and hearing these tunes, even when you hear them again, it must sound a little bit different.
Oh, definitely. A lot. Some of them sound really different. In fact, I kind of wonder what they do in there. Some of them sound different, like the same track. You know, it'll sound like it's kind of speeded up. I can't tell if it's my imagination or I was telling you before that Bobby McGee sounds slower than I remember it then. You know, I don't know. Time plays tricks on you. You know?
Well, they may be slowing it and speeding it up. You wouldn't even know.
A little bit, maybe, on a couple of them. There's something different. I can't quite put my finger on it, but, you know. I should go, you know, I've been invited to go in there when they're mixing and working on all that stuff, but it's kind of fun to wait. It's really great to have this stuff, Mark. It's like having, you know, you can imagine, like, snapshots of your family or something, you know. All of a sudden, they're redone, and they're digitalized, and they look real good, you know.
It's great stuff, and it's been a real pleasure for me to talk to you, Sam.
Same here, Mark.
And I hope to get together you one time when you're in the East Coast.
Yeah, I'll call you up. I want to get to Boston real soon.
Yeah, send me an email.
Okay, good.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
That's Sam Andrew. And ladies and gentlemen, here is more of Janis Joplin.